Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm your host, Clayton Smith. And every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously. That's but this week, grew a real ass beard.
Yeah, finally. Finally, I'm Patrick, and for my whole life, I've been unable to grow facial hair in totality, and I finally achieved it with the help of a little, I don't mind telling you my trick. Again, I'm Patrick Dean, and the trick that I use to grow my facial hair is a bull sperm. Semen of male cow is, I just spread it across my face, the lower
it's
half
an application
only.
Thing.
Okay. Yeah. Application only. Now, some does get in the mouth.
But well, yeah, I mean, that's
yeah. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Like when I spread ice cream on my face, some of it gets in my mouth too.
Yeah, so it's exactly the same principle. Now my cheeks are also a little bit hairy because of this, but you shave those down and then you're fine.
Okay, shaving, interesting. I've never done that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. This is just your natural state, huh?
It is indeed. Yeah, it's naked as a jaybird.
Sometimes I wonder if. Like for some people, of course, the Halloween episode is the first episode they ever listen to in a year of the show, and it must be so confusing.
Yeah. Do you think they're more confused this week?
Nope.
Or next
week? Next week.
Next week is the hard one.
I was thinking about this because you know what? I was reading an article pretty recently, actually, about the dress. The dress is back in the news on this show. And it was an interesting article about how if you saw the dress as either blue and black or gold and white way back when. Mm-hmm. Whatever your brain decided it was initially, that's always how you're going to see it. And it's like almost impossible to rewire your brain. Right?
Interesting.
And I was thinking about that in terms of this show. For anyone who's listening tonight for the first time, they're going to think that you're the host.
Right.
And I'm not. And then for every episode hereafter, it's not going to compute because their brain, you've wired their brains wrongly. And they'll never get their innocence back.
I wouldn't say wrong. It's kind of like... Sort of like that book, Are You My Mother? That's kind of what it's like.
Okay.
It's
In what way?
You know, I'm the first host they encounter. And so I impress upon them. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
And so I am like
their mother.
I'm a steam shovel that is now this bird's mother. Yeah. And I didn't hear a lot of complaints from the bird.
That's true. In a lot of ways, that bird's life probably would have been better if the steam shovel had just, if it had stopped right there and said, you are my mother.
Can you imagine, like, a hunter or a bigger bird or something like that messing with the steam
shovel? Absolutely not.
Yeah, no way. No. So, that stupid bird fucked up his life.
Yeah, completely.
He should have said, are you my mother? I don't care. You are now.
You are now.
I love you.
Protect me. I love you. Yep. Well, that's good. It's got off to a good start. You remembered all the words to the intro, which I was... Mm-hmm. I don't like the... confused looks that your face made as you tried to remember them.
It was a deep reach.
Deep pull. So let's see. We started this show in 2021. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
So we didn't, and we did a Halloween episode that year. 1, 2, 3, 4. So this is the fifth Halloween episode. So 170, let me do some quick math. So 169 times you've heard me say that. and it does confirm a theory that I've had for 100 plus episodes now, which is that you don't listen to the intro while I'm doing it.
No, I definitely don't.
Yeah.
No. Your mouth moves, but I'm like 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, you're making jokes about someone named Hans and or Abigail. Just in case, just for your back pocket.
I'm like a chess master. I'm so many moves down the road. I don't even know what you're doing right now.
I'm already telling next Halloween's story right now. That's cool. Well, do you want to explain to everyone how the Halloween episodes work?
Sure. Yeah. If this is your first time listening to the Halloween episode, or you just like things being explained to you twice, every Halloween, I dress up as our beloved host, Clayton Smith. Mm-hmm. I spend the night in his home. Mm-hmm. I drink his whiskey.
We're a method actor. We should say that right off the bat.
So, I mean, so like I got on a plane on Monday, flew there. Mm-hmm. Gave Aaron a very uncomfortable hug, and then.
Well, you didn't have pants on, so that was part. Now,
method.
That's
would you say this to Daniel Day-Lewis? Would you say Daniel? Absolutely put your pants
not. No, I would not, and I wouldn't say it to you either. So I'm just giving to the audience. Like that's why I was a little uncomfortable for Aaron because we didn't tell her that this would be happening this year.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just real clear, the problem was the pants were far too big, and they just
slipped right off. Yeah.
And gave her a hug. They fell right down.
Really, more of a me issue than a you issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I put both your kids to bed. And here we are.
That was the best part, to be honest.
Yeah.
Great.
Man, those kids are lippy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
Oh, boy. So as your host, I tell my good friend three ghost stories. Three short ghost stories, though they don't usually end up so short. Three short ghost stories. And two of those ghost stories have been researched and are, I would say, quote-unquote, true ghost stories.
Okay.
And one of them has been invented from whole cloth. It is completely from my imagination and has no basis in reality.
Yeah.
So.
And then it's my job then to guess which one is the fake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so far, I'm pretty good at it.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You've won 0 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
but that's called a streak, my friend.
Indeed. But you're due. That's why I guess.
I feel like I'm due. I feel like I'm due. And we didn't do this all 5 years. This was a year two invention. This is our fourth year doing this.
I think you're right.
So it's not I'm not 0 for 5. I want to make that very clear.
Right. Absolutely not.
I'm 0 for 3, but soon to be 4. Yes. Soon to be 4.
Yeah. I think I think you're due. Yeah. Statistically, if you just guessed B the entire time, you probably would have gotten it by now.
That's true. The problem is I get in my head so much because I'm like, well, here's what Patrick would know, but here's what Patrick might say about that because he knows that I know that he knows that I know that he knows that this is absolutely not true.
When the entire time I am immune to fake stories because all of my training.
That's correct. I got to remember, in your mind, every story is a fake story. So they are all seamlessly the same.
Mm-hmm. There's no difference.
I need a new strategy. I don't know. I got it today. I'm finding a good page in my notebook. I'm going to take notes. I cracked my knuckle there.
All right.
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling.
Okay.
I'm going to take this sweater off. Look at this.
Shit.
Got to flex the gun. Ow. Sorry. It's so sore. So we had a really windy day yesterday, and our neighbor has this. It's not a tree, but it might as well be a tree. It's a big vine, like a big mass of vines.
Right.
That crawls up their garage. They have a detached garage that's next to our property line. And it grew up the side of the yard and then like over onto the roof. And we came home last night from doing shenanigans out in the world. And one of our neighbor was in our yard tending to the entire thing, which had blown, uprooted, and carried over our fence into our yard.
Oh, it's like massive, a tarp.
Like a very big, knotty, heavy tarp full of tree.
Okay.
If you can picture that.
Sounds awful. Yeah. Just sounds really awful.
Yeah. So she was out there cutting it, and I was like, do you want some help? And she was like, I don't know. I'm kind of just enjoying being out. She has a 1.5-year-old. She's like, I'm just going to be enjoying being out here. Just like, I love it out here. You don't have to help. But I did feel compelled because it's in my yard, and I want it off of there. So I went out, and so I helped. So I was like sawing stuff with my saw. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I sawed like 7 or 8 maybe vine limbs. My arm's tired.
I bet. Rough, you saw 7 times in one day.
Yeah. Well, it's like every time you use it, it's like back and forth at least 4 times. So.
Oh, that's. Oh, okay. I thought you're actually counting the number of times you stroke.
No. I see the confusion for sure, and that's fair. That's a good question. But no, I removed several limbs, and only one of them was mine. I did a good job.
I don't want to see which one because I've already seen your 2 arms. So. Nope.
That was a visual joke. Watch us on YouTube, friends. Is this a ghost?
I think I'm just going to choose them at random. And I think in years past I've had you pick random numbers, but it really doesn't matter too much. I am going to choose them in an order.
You've stripped away my power. That's fine.
It's fine. I mean, again, I have to have some sort of something in this relationship.
Okay. Wait, you want a sound effect or are you just going to go?
Yeah, no, I don't. I have buttons over here, but I really don't know what they do. And I think
I'll give you one if you want.
Okay.
Let's see. All right. I'm on the wild card panel. So pick a number between 1 and 8.
4. Ugh. Perfect. I knew it. Yep. Story the first. The Bissell Mansion.
The Fissell Mansion?
Bissell.
Oh, Bissell.
Like a buh. The Bissell Mansion.
Like the vacuum.
I guess.
Is that that's a business? That's right.
I think so.
You keep, yeah. You start the story. I'm gonna
don't you dare fucking Google anything. Google you turn Bissell your computer off. Do not.
I think there's a vacuum called the Bissell steam cleaner vacuum.
It does sound right. Sounds very like 1980s, like an 80s vacuum.
But see, and this is exactly how we like start these things off, and I get in my head because on one hand it's mm-hmm. like, well, I've heard of the Bissell before, so it's probably real. Right. But then I'm like, no, Patrick just remembers subconsciously the Bissell steam cleaner, and that's lodged mm-hmm. in his brain that in a special room in the back of Patrick's brain where he only gets exactly. to use it once a year, mm-hmm. and that's where all this shit flies out from. All right, the Bissell, mm-hmm. the Bissell that, mansion,
and that little room has two residents. You
and me. And I live there rent free.
Louis Bissell, born in Connecticut on October 12th, 1789.
There was no Connecticut in 1789. This is fake.
Sorry. Comes from an impressive family of American military leaders.
Okay.
His father, Major Russell Bissell.
Russell Bissell. I like the name Russell Bissell.
It is pretty good, actually.
It's a fun one to say.
My favorite part of this. He was the first commandant of Fort Bellefontaine, which is actually North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Bellefontaine neighbors.
That's right.
That's where it gets, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. See, yep. This is what you do. Now, maybe that's real, or maybe you just like dropped in a St. Louis thing, because I'd be like, that's too real to not be true.
I know some things about the city of St. Louis, so who can tell?
But do you know North St. Louis? Your skin is so pale. I don't know. I don't know.
Most of it's gone now, so it's not really much to worry about.
Your skin?
The skin and North St. Louis. Oh. North St. Louis got wiped the fuck out this year.
Oh, no.
The hurricane came through in March.
The St. Louis hurricane, really. The famous St. Louis hurricane.
They come out of nowhere. At a young age, his family greeted the Lewis and Clark expedition upon their arrival in St. Louis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So pretty prominent family here.
Yeah.
Pretty prominent family.
Yeah.
Lewis, I mentioned he was from an American military family, began his military career at age 19 and was soon sent by Thomas Jefferson to what was then known as the Western Frontier.
Okay, the president and the Lewis and Clark expedition, those line up. Okay, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but you mm-hmm. would know those line
up. I would know that because right. I also have the internet.
All right.
In 1821, Bissell returns from the frontier. And he takes himself a wife.
Wait, when did he go to the frontier? How long was he out there?
Age 19, born 1789. That would have been 1798.
Okay.
Is that right? No. 1808. Yeah.
He comes back when?
1821.
He's been out there for a while.
13 years on
the
frontier.
He's a changed man.
He comes back like Jumanji from that shit. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. Wow, that's a long time.
So he comes back and he takes himself a wife. I'd imagine he takes himself a wife the millisecond he gets back into St. Louis.
So forcefully.
Yes. Mary Woodbridge, who apparently was just the first person he saw at the train station, marries her in 1821, same year he returns.
Okay.
And upon getting married, he begins acquiring real estate. I assume he gets some sort of large stipend from
the
frontier. I have no idea how these people get money.
Now, you don't have any details about what he did on the frontier?
We don't talk about what
I was going to say. I assume he knew. We know what happened on the frontier. Okay. Just check. Okay.
The majority of the real estate was a 1,500-acre tract known as Bissell's Point, which spread east of the Bissell Mansion to the Mississippi River.
Now, I assume this was named after he bought it. It's not like, what would work really well is that this one's already called Bissell. Yeah. So
I've got to imagine he buys the whole thing. He's like, I'm going to call this Bissell's Point. They're like, Bissell's conveniently.
Point. Yeah, okay, Bissell's Point. All right.
This is what we already called it.
All right.
Because we knew you were coming. Yeah. In 1823, Bissell completes the mansion he began on the estate, situated within Bissell's Point. And several more mansions nearby were built as it became kind of a hotbed for real estate prospecting.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. That's where, you know, people build, you've seen all the mansions on the north side of St. Louis, right?
I've seen what's left of them. Yeah.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. They were, you could tell, quite beautiful.
It is a crazy
hundreds of years ago.
I mean, those houses are incredible mm-hmm. and in ruins. It's really bad. It's wild.
So house is done.
Wait, do you have a description or a photo of the house that I could see? Cause sometimes
I do. I'm not allowed to show photos on this episode. Remember? Yeah. I'm a little too smart.
Yeah, yeah.
A little
smart. All right. I love that, by the way, you're telling me the St. Louis story, which may or may not be true, while you're wearing a St. Louis flag t-shirt and drinking citywide the St. Louis beer.
This has to be the true one then, I guess.
Well, you're in my head again. God damn it. All right, keep going.
Fast forward to 1831, and unfortunately, Mary dies.
They always do.
The good die young, or older. They never really say how old she is. But 6 years later, Lewis renames another Mary, Mary Jane Douglas.
I'm sorry, he renames another Mary?
Remarries.
Oh, remarries.
He literally remarries.
Okay, but you said he renames another Mary. That's what you said with your mouth, and I thought it was very confusing.
We'll fix it in post, because I really don't know. He remarries.
Okay.
Again, the joke is that he literally remarries. Another woman named Mary Jane Douglas, who, since she has three names, I've got to assume she also is
a serial
super
killer.
Fucking, oh. Yeah. Or wealthy. Either way. Either way. Bissell and Mary II live in the house for more than four decades before he eventually dies there in 1868.
Wow.
At the age of 79.
Okay.
The house passes hands a few times, goes through, different families. And then into the late 1950s, the I-70 corridor came through town, and the Landmarks Association ended up saving the historic home. It was apparently on the chopping block. And it survived as the Bissell Mansion Restaurant and Murder Mystery Dinner Theater.
I mean, that's a big industry in St. Louis.
It really, really is.
It's hard to tell if that's real or not, because there's 19 different businesses in St. Louis that have that title.
Mm-hmm. It was actually, it still is, but the oldest home in St. Louis, which timing-wise sounds about right. Yes, the oldest home in St. Louis.
I guess that's true. That makes sense. Okay.
Huh. So most of the other homes were lost to... either the I-70 corridor or just, as you've seen, just general disrepair.
Yeah, we don't really care for buildings and such.
But the Bissell Mansion survives, along with its resident ghost, Captain Bissell himself. He keeps a watchful eye on the property. He's often been spied in the parking lot, of all places, looking back towards the house. Parking lot. Which is a weird place for a ghost to hang out.
It's a strange
admittedly.
Spot. Yeah.
Usually they stay in the house. He wants to see it from the outside.
I want to see it like the guy in that Yugo sees it.
In 2024, the house was purchased by St. Louis residents Kyle and Jane Wheeler.
Oh, I know them.
Really?
Wouldn't that be fun?
No, that would kind of ruin it, wouldn't it? sure would. They hope to renovate the house into a B&B with a murder mystery dinner hour feature, much as it had in the past.
It's so interesting. Like, I wonder if there's, like, so many people do that. Like, so many of the I would say at least half of the stories that we have on this show are people end up buying a place to be like, let's make it a haunted attraction. Mm-hmm. But you never hear of, like, that as, like, an economic driver. When people are doing the economics report, they're never like, and, 12% of our GDP locally comes from haunted mansions. I wonder if that's a good. You think it's a good business decision?
I also do wonder if when you're going into the bank to borrow money for this,
you can't tell them, right?
You can't be like, oh, and don't worry, it is haunted as shit. We're going to make so much money off of this thing.
Yeah.
The bank doesn't want that.
No.
Right?
No.
Kyle, the new owner, shared that when he and contractors in the process of reconstructing the mansion, employees believe that they saw a figure appear from one specific window.
We do know that ghosts love contractors. Ghosts love being out there when the contractors are working on the house. That's true.
He says, the contractors came running into the house. They said, who is that guy in the window? Who did you let into the house while we were working? So we ran outside trying to find somebody and couldn't find anyone.
Interesting. All right.
The workers described the figure as a tall man wearing all black, and that specific window is where others have reported seeing a ghost. End story the first.
That's one, huh?
The Bissell Mansion.
All right. So as we go through this, do you want me to give like some short feedback or do you want me to wait till the end?
Why don't you wait till the end?
Okay.
I'm on a bit of a roll here and I'm going to get a little too drunk in a few minutes to be able to read the third one.
Great. Perfect. All right. Missile Mansion, check.
Okay.
Number two.
Story the second. The Yoo-Hoo Haunting.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stop you right there.
Oh, no. This one's quite good.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. August 12th, 1878. Mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh. Pottersdom, New Jersey. Let me take you back.
Okay. Please do.
Ernest Bauer Young is born. He's the second child of Hattie and John Young, but the only to survive. Apparently he had an older sibling, an older sister that died in a cholera outbreak.
It's going to be cholera or tuberculosis. There's only two options. Exactly.
I don't know which way you want to go if you're a baby.
Gosh, great question. let's dig into that for a minute.
Hattie and John own a general store in Pottersdom, selling mostly animal feed, dry goods, and some medicines.
Okay.
I don't know what some medicines you get in 1878.
Whatever you can lay hands on, I think.
I bet it's mostly cocaine. As Ernest gets older, he attends school, but like many boys in that time, after sixth grade, he begins working full-time in the general store and drops out of elementary school.
Yep. He's doing good boy behavior there.
That's exactly what I would do. In 1892, a nearby federal home building project brings many new people, workers, and eventually, you know, like people that live in the homes, to Pottersdom, which allows the general store to grow quickly and expand.
Wow. All right.
So.
Now it includes a Blimpies.
Yes.
On the side.
And a Walmart. And end of story. In 1896, the general store, which is previously known as Young's Goods, Young's Goods, opens a soda fountain in the store, which was becoming
It's a Blimpies kind of, a big of deal. The 19th century.
It really is. They changed the name of the store from Young's Goods to Young's Sodas and Diet.
Sodas and Diet.
I do not know.
Sodas and Diet. That's weird. All right.
I don't know. I did not search to see if that was a normal name for a thing back then.
Okay.
Ernest takes a supreme interest in the new sodas endeavor and begins learning all the intricacies of the new soda machines.
So this is going to be about real Yoo-Hoo.
This is going to be
the drink Yoo-Hoo.
The drink Yoo-Hoo.
Okay.
All kinds of different mixes and famous drinks of the time. I mean, this is like this time, soda fountains and soda drinks were.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There must have been fucking nothing else going on Earth.
It was bigger than the sock hop.
he learned popular soda mixes such as Rose Water, the French Fizz, and Snow Pops.
Snow Pops.
I mean, I'm assuming these are, it's mostly cocaine. Has to be.
Okay.
And Ernest, of course, begins creating his own concoctions from, you know, juices and soda and water cocaine. And whatnot.
Yeah.
And cocaine. Yeah. And he makes them 24 hours a day. He does not sleep.
More soda! More soda! More soda, Mom!
With the white powder! In 1899, Ernest was visited by boyhood friend J.P. Allen Hooper.
J.P. Allen Hooper is a good, that's a good period name for sure. Yeah. J.P. Allen Hooper, okay.
J.P. Allen Hooper.
Yeah.
Hooper's family was raising dairy cows in the area. That's how the two boys knew each other.
Okay.
And I guess they both had an interest in the burgeoning soda industry. Uh-huh. And they begin mixing up their own concoctions at Soda Fountain.
Okay.
And eventually happen upon a rich concoction consisting of raw milk, cocoa powder, and soda water.
Raw milk? I mean, this is probably back. This is...
this
raw milk is having a moment.
This one I did check. This is pre-pasteurization. So yep. This is the rawest of the raw milk.
Pretty good.
This is before Upton Sinclair. This is before... like the,
or
the,
Louis
the,
Pasteur.
The waning days of everything being extremely gross. they dubbed the new drink chocolate sodas, which were an instant hit in New Jersey.
Yeah.
After reaching regional acclaim, Ernest and JP decided to rename their catchy drink with an equally catchy name, Yoo-Hoo, named after the shortening of each of their last names, Young and Hooper, which I did not know.
Interesting. Interesting.
JP's
Can I ask you a question first?
Yeah.
Was it originally Y-O-U-H-O-O, or was it always Y-O-O-H-O-O? Did you find that?
I think it was always, the only bottles I ever saw were always Y-O-O. Yeah. I think it was probably just to insist on the pronunciation.
Yeah.
JP's family's experience at food production and Ernest's connections in the grocery supply chain allowed them to begin producing the drink en masse within 2 years. Producing the drink in large quantities and needing it to be shelf stable required them to remove the milk.
Oh no.
And replace it with sweetened condensed milk, which does make sense. The change made the drink even sweeter and more palatable, increasing its popularity.
This sucked for a long time, but they're like, let's go to market anyway, everybody.
We can keep doing this. We have to take all of the small flecks of cow shit out of it. It's the only way to go. Yoo-Hoo becomes nationally distributed in 1910, leading to an incredible amount of sales nationwide. At one point, the drink was the second most consumed produced beverage in the U.S. after beer. Which,
right.
Again,
thinking about that, yeah, all right,
yeah, I mourn the nation's teeth. I really do. This is just everyone was just desperate to get those teeth out of their head.
For some reason we bought a Yoo-Hoo for the girls several months ago now, but mm-hmm. we were just like at a gas station and they're like, they want chocolate milk, this is chocolate milk, here's Yoo-Hoo, and I try to sip, it is so bad. I assume it's the same recipe. It's just wow, right? Wow, it's a weird drink.
You do expect it to be something different. You're like, is it chocolate milk? It's absolutely
it's,
not.
It's own
is it
thing
soda?
For sure.
Not nope. quite.
Nope.
I was trying to get through the whole thing without imagining the taste of Yoo-Hoo, but here we are,
man. And the worst part of it is I used to drink a lot of Yoo-Hoo.
Oh, absolutely. Didn't we all?
Yeah.
It was a rage. I think it was like a sports drink when we were growing up.
I think it was splash this on your coach. It's so good.
Oh man.
Just get in there.
Gatorade came in and just cleaned its clock. Ernest and JP become unbelievably wealthy, especially for the small town they live in.
I bet.
They both still reside in Potterston. There isn't much written about JP's spending, although we can assume that from his large family and rural upbringing that he spends it responsibly. But Ernest, being an only child in a small town, did what any filthy rich jerk might do, and he built himself a spooky ass mansion.
That's what I mean. throw the first stone if you want, but that's what I would do. Absolutely.
We would all build a spooky ass
mansion. And I would build the mansion to be spooky.
Right.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. I would not like let it become spooky. Would start spooky.
It starts spooky, yeah.
I can't show you any photos of the spooky mansion like the last story, but suffice to say, it's the same Greek revival style that we've seen in many stories. 5-bed, 7-bath, ballroom, and tennis courts on site.
Wow. And there's a ballroom mm-hmm. on the top floor where it all collapses. Yeah. Some people like
swimming
that.
Swimming pool on the top floor, filled with Yoo-Hoo. The most unique feature of the massive home was the soda fountain Ernest installed in the main parlor.
I mean, you gotta.
Yeah, I don't really know what else you do here. It dispensed only Ernest's signature drink, always properly chilled and in ample supply. Behind the bar, up on the wall, was a floor-to-ceiling mirror decorated with a Yoo-Hoo logo, and Ernest would spend much of his time behind the bar relaxing, hearkening back to his younger days in his parents' shop.
Man, if I were rich, I would also spend so much of my day relaxing. That sounds exactly right.
Chilling. Chilling at a soda fountain.
Yep.
On January 10th, 1952, at the ripe old age of 73, Ernest died peacefully in his sleep in the mansion that became his refuge. The house in Potterston is open for tours, even to this day, as it still sits near the Yoo-Hoo production factory. Visitors have claimed that spending time in the parlor with Ernest's soda fountain, they've experienced cold chills, footsteps behind the bar when no one was there, and on more than one occasion, a fleeting glimpse of Ernest himself polishing the bar top as visitors left for the day.
It's classic haunting stuff.
End story the second. It's
tough.
The Yoo-Hoo haunting.
The Yoo-Hoo haunting, okay. Well,
everything written down? You're good?
Yep,
you're good?
I assume.
Move on.
Then story three is obviously the fake one. Please mm-hmm, go ahead.
Indeed. And here we are with the fake one. Clayton, let me take you back.
Again?
None of these happen in the future. It's the stupidest show. To August 27th, 1891.
My mom's birthday.
August 27th? Really?
Yeah.
How would I have known that?
I don't know.
How would I have known that?
I don't know what you do in Missouri with other people in Missouri. I don't know.
We go see movies sometimes. At 2:20 a.m.
We have very different tastes. We did see the one with Jim Caviezel a lot.
We did.
She just loves that one.
But we did not talk afterwards. At 2:20 a.m., a train rushes past the Statesville, North Carolina train depot, running behind on its journey towards Asheville, North Carolina. Train number 9 of the Richmond and Danville Railroad is 34 minutes behind schedule and desperate to make up time.
Okay.
Hugh K. Linster, the train's baggage master, checks
Hugh
his prize.
Hugh K. Linster.
Hugh K. Linster.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hugh or you?
Hugh. H-U. H-U. No, okay. We're done with the Yoo-hoo. Okay. There's no more use.
I'm picking up on a pattern here.
Checks his prized pocket watch, annoyed with the delay. 3 miles west and 8 minutes later, the train begins to cross the Bostian Bridge at approximately 30 miles an hour, high above Third Creek, when something goes very wrong.
No.
The track separates and the train goes hurtling 70 feet into the creek below. Several passengers, but not many, but several, several passengers.
More than two for sure.
More than two for sure find themselves somewhat unhurt and run back to Statesville to get help. And within hours, the entire community has been awakened and returns to the site of the train accident and finds the bodies of the dead and injured.
Now, are we going to learn what caused the train wreck here or no?
We will. There will be an investigation.
Okay.
There will be, yes.
Okay.
The final list of the dead was released. 22 souls confirmed dead, man. Including Mr. Linster.
Not Hugh.
Yes, Hugh. Hugh, indeed. No. And 30 more wounded. I don't know how the fuck you fly 70 feet off of a train trestle.
A single person is alive? That's incredible. Yeah.
I don't know how many people you had to put between you and the window to survive this thing.
Did you ask ChatGPT 30 people managed to. What is 70 feet? I'm having a hard time.
Oh, it says 2/3 of a blue whale.
Oh.
Does that help?
Yeah. No, but it sounds big.
It sounds really gross if you cut it up like that, though. The cleanup was massive. I mean, it's a huge train that fell into a creek.
Yeah, sounds bad, yeah.
They bring in convicts from the nearby jail to clean up. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
I mean,
free labor. Mm-hmm. Also, they don't complain as much about cleaning up all of the viscera and whatnot, I would imagine. They probably don't mind it. But why?
So you think that like only the people who don't mind viscera go to jail?
Yes, that's why they're in jail.
Okay. Well, some of them are in there for tax evasion, but that's fine.
I don't mind financial viscera. Yeah, yes, you too, buddy. Get in the fucking truck.
I don't mind some spilled ink, if you know what I'm saying. I think I do. Get in the truck.
So why did the disaster occur? So many theories.
Great question. I think ghost. Conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Vandalism. Neglect.
Okay.
Four days following the accident, a judicial inquiry concluded that the accident had been caused by unknown persons removing spikes from the rails.
Removing spikes?
Removing spikes.
Those
valuable
seem important.
Spikes.
Yes.
They do. They keep the train on the track? I don't know.
They keep the track, certainly.
They keep the track on the
place.
Train.
Yes. Yeah, they keep the track under the train. On the train. Reverse train. Speaking of reverse train, let me talk about the sleeping Aaron and I are working on.
We pulled all the spikes out.
I hope she doesn't listen to the Halloween episode.
I really hope not. As R&D was experiencing financial difficulties, those who feared large claims for compensation worked feverishly to find the alleged saboteurs. Detectives swarmed the area trying to find the vandals. Several people were detained and interrogated, but eventually released. But in 1897... two men who were conveniently already in the state penitentiary were convicted of confessing.
That's a pretty good way of doing it.
Isn't that great?
You know what? We found them.
Yeah. We did find them. They were in the jail the whole time.
Good on us.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, were they? Anyway. But they weren't in the jail when the wreck happened, right?
I don't, you know, it wasn't super clear. It does sound like they might have been, though.
Well, okay.
You're like, wait a second, I saw you when that train crashed. Yeah, I was cleaning up all the viscera. Oh, someone doesn't have a problem with viscera, huh? Get back in the truck. Anyway, fast forward to August 27th, 1941.
Oh.
50 years later. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pat and Larry Hayes were headed from Columbia, South Carolina to the North Carolina mountains.
A nice married couple.
For a vacation. Nice married couple.
Okay.
Girl and a boy.
Yeah.
I think.
Larry's the girl.
Larry's the girl, right? Pat's also the girl. Okay. And it was late. Pat and the kids were sleeping. Oh, kids, never mind. Pat and the kids are sleeping while Larry drives. But a tire blows up on the highway.
It blows up?
A tire blew.
It blew Kaboom. Up.
Okay. So Larry pulls a car over and walks back into town.
Okay.
Pat is, you know, awake by this point, and they're stopped right near a train bridge. And so she's not terribly surprised as she's kind of trying to get back to sleep that she hears a train coming. Makes sense. Train bridge.
Yeah.
But then as it's crossing the bridge, she hears a horrible sound. The sound of screeching steel on steel and a plummeting train car into the creek below. She hears screams coming from the train. She sees the wreckage strewn across the creek. And she witnesses a man scanning the wreckage and looking at his pocket watch, seemingly unaware of the intense carnage around him. Oh. Probably a prisoner. But
for sure.
he has no problem with it.
So comfortable with viscera. Just can't overstate how comfortable with viscera these guys are.
Moments later, a car pulls up, a real car, and she's relieved to see her husband and a stranger emerge, obviously to help with the blown tire. She yells at them to come quickly and see, but the wreckage was gone. The family waits until morning to inquire about the tragedy, the local depot, and they're informed that there was no accident the night before, none at all. But the station master pauses and says, coincidentally, a tragic train wreck, the deadliest in North Carolina history, occurred 50 years ago to the precise minute that you saw it.
My goodness.
End story the third. Precise the minute, Bostian right. Bridge ghost train.
Bostian. How do you spell Bostian?
B-O-S-T-I-A-N.
Bostian
like
Bridge.
Like Boston, but then they gave some extra vowels. They lost some extra vowels.
All right. And that's it, huh?
That's it. I'm gonna delete this Google Doc. So
so it's got to be. Let's see. Let me just pull up real quick. Recording here. How deep are we? Are we? Oh, we're good. Okay. We're good. We're good to speculate.
Yeah.
Now. Okay.
We're totally fine. You can guess right now.
All right. Well, here we are.
So do you want to go back? You want to go back through them one by one?
Yeah.
Some of the highs and the lows, pros and the cons. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's go. Okay, so start with that. We got the Missile Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Mary died, right? I wrote down
right.
That Mary. Yeah.
First Mary died.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any second Mary. I don't know what happened to second Mary. Probably still alive.
Probably fine.
Thousands
right?
of years old.
What do we think about the vacuum connection? Now, have we figured that out?
Nothing I found about it.
Okay.
So probably a very common name.
I don't know
if the Bissell vacuum family is from St. Louis. It sounds like a very St. Louis thing, though, doesn't it?
It does. Sure does. Yeah.
You know, it's a town famous for beer and dog food. Why not vacuums as well?
Okay. I got no questions about the Bissell Mansion. Let's see. Okay. Next, Okay. So let me just, I'll just talk about my thoughts right now. So
right, yeah.
Number one, Bissell Mansion. That sounds so familiar. Bissell Mansion mm-hmm. sounds like a real thing to me. Now, is mm-hmm. it because you're leveraging a lot of St. Louis things to make me think it sounds real? Maybe you're mm-hmm. you are conniving enough to do that and pull it off. But Bissell Mansion, I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Okay.
And also, by the way, I will congratulate you once again. You've somehow found three stories that I have never, never come up in my research, or at least two stories. Never going to research. So Bissell Mansion feels pretty real. Not convinced 100%, but that feels okay. Now I do want to talk about Yoo-Hoo. Mm-hmm. God, what I would give for a Google right now. I don't think I have any questions really.
Okay.
You've done a great job here. What I'm thinking about Yoo-Hoo is, I think the thing that makes me think maybe Yoo-Hoo is not real is that I can't imagine the time when Yoo-Hoo was more popular than Coca-Cola. That feels to me like bunk, as the kids say today.
Perhaps.
That's a detail that makes me think, I don't know, maybe not Yoo-Hoo. So that one's tough. But you know what throws me off about number three is suddenly number three you read in present tense when the others were in past tense.
Right.
If I remember correctly. So that's interesting. It's interesting.
Well, I'm trying to mimic your style here. You're very like active.
I try to do active present. Yeah, but you didn't seem very concerned with that for most of the stories. So
I did finish these notes 30 minutes ago. So
let's see. Any questions on this? I think you did a great job. I don't know. Is there anything else that I should know from your end about any of these before I make my decision?
I don't think, and I have shared every piece of information that I possibly know about these three very true stories.
Yeah.
And I think I'm ready. I'm ready to receive your guess.
I don't like it when you say it that way. Let's see. So number three, Asheville. I do like Asheville. Boston Bridge. That's a, I don't know. Okay, so let's do this as we sometimes do, at least have done once. If you're listening to this, listen, we're going to post something on our Facebook page and maybe our Instagram now too this year, where we ask you to weigh in with which story you think is fake. So if you want to play along with me, all I ask is that you do it like for real. Like if you want to log your guess, go ahead and pause the podcast as you're listening. Go check us out on Facebook and Instagram, and put your guess. And don't be one of those.
Don't Google.
People who, yeah. Don't Google.
Yeah. Don't be a dick about it.
Don't be a dick about it. And we'll see who gets it wrong. That really helps me because usually everyone gets it wrong with me, which is really nice. I like that a lot. All right. I just have to win one of these days. I don't know if it's going to be today. Bissell. I feel like it's not the Bissell. I feel like the Bissell's real. And if it's not real, you've done an excellent job of leveraging like just the right keywords to make me think that it's real. Two and three, I don't know. I think I'm going to go because, and here's why. So I think if there were a pattern to pick up on, which I have not done successfully because I have been drinking a lot of whiskey, but I think number two had a lot of very good details. And I know you don't like researching details. And so I think number one and three had fewer details. So I'm going to guess that number two, the Yoo-Hoo story, is the fake one. That's my guess. Final answer. I'm writing it in my notes. That's what I think.
Clayton.
Yes, Patrick.
The Yoo-Hoo haunting
in
Pottersdam, New Jersey
is
completely fake.
Yes! Yes! Ah! Listen, it took me 5 years, but I finally did it. And I'm so proud of myself.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now
last.
I return to dust.
Oh, no. We have a show next week. Wow. That feels good. That feels good. I think
that one on the CV right there.
Yeah.
One time.
Now in hindsight, I wish I hadn't explained why I thought it was fake, because I feel like next year you're just going to
Kill you next year on this. Yeah. I'm going to kill you next year on this.
Yeah. Thing. So that was a mistake on my part, and I'm instantly. But feels pretty good. You got it? These were great. Okay, so I'm really sorry. Apparently what happened was Patrick's audio just stopped recording. I'm going to say it's probably because he and his entire system freaked out because he couldn't process the fact that I won the game, which I don't hold that against him. That's great. That's great news for me. But that was we had pretty much wrapped it up, except suddenly his audio went off. So thank you so much for listening. I'm just here to tell you that Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor and website master is Jen Swanson. Our social media team, as best I can tell now, I think is Jen Jones and Sam Murdoch. I got to find some answers on that one. And we have our merch that's designed by Fox and Quill Studio. Thank you so much to them. Go follow them on Instagram at Fox and Quill Studio. But more importantly, or I guess I shouldn't say that. I would say as importantly, equally as important, go buy some merch. It's so fun. And if you enjoyed this episode, go tell all your friends about this episode. Go tell your friends about this show. It would be so helpful if more people listened to this. Because, you know, we've been doing this for a long time now. And I'll just be honest. We've plateaued quite a lot for quite a long time in terms of listeners. So if you like it, you know, get other people to like it. That would be so helpful and so good. And happy Halloween, everybody. We hope you have a good time. There is a ghost right behind you. Oh, shit, look out!